and withal with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our doctor's meeting with us in one of the examining rooms after receiving the results of extensive blood tests. He's talking with us about our eating and exercising habits. Are we good listeners? Or are we satisfied to just go through the motions? A friend calls to inquire if the two of you can get together. There's been much pressure going on in the friend's life, and that pressure needs to be relieved. Again, are we good listeners? Or are we satisfied to just go through the motions? At first, it may not be obvious, but through the scriptures and the sacraments this morning, our Lord has literally brought us into his presence. And under extraordinary circumstances, we are being urged to listen to him. Will we? Or will we just go through the motions? Today's gospel is a magnificent passage. After spending 8 weeks in the Epiphany season and seeing how the incarnate Son of God is pushing his life into this world, we are glimpsed today with the unexpected and stunning conclusion as his ministry rolls on to his crucifixion and resurrection. The events in this passage take place 8 days after Jesus has sketched out the details of following him. Those details included the suffering, the rejecting, the killing, and the rising of the Son of Man, as well as the denial of self and the acceptance of the cross. Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up a mountain to pray. Remember that a mountain signifies the presence of the Lord God. Recall, too, that prayer signifies conversing with the Lord God. Our Lord's face changes, and his clothes become dazzling white. And suddenly the disciples see two of the most prominent persons in the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, talking with our Lord. They appear in glory, that is, the eternal reality of the Lord's presence. And they are speaking of Jesus' departure. It's striking that the Greek word used there for departure is exodus. Thus, it not only recalls the exodus from Egypt, it is also anticipating Jesus' approaching crucifixion and resurrection at Jerusalem. Luke tells us that Peter, John, and James are weighed down with sleep. But since they are being pressed to stay awake, they see this glory and the two men with Jesus. Peter, speaking to our Lord, says, "How good it is to be here," and proposes three dwellings. This reflects the Old Testament practice of enshrining those places where the Lord God appears. Such places would be one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Luke's comment that Peter does not know what he is saying is an intriguing one, but we won't waste our time speculating why Peter says that. But while he is talking, a cloud overshadows them, and they are terrified as they go into it. Now, this cloud recalls the Lord's presence as he led his people through their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. For us, it also recalls the dense fogs that result from you and me always focusing on ourselves. Being in such a cloud reminds us again of the major theme in Luke's gospel. Fear of God brings his mercy, but fear of everything else brings his anger. A voice from the cloud says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." You and I are to pay close attention to what he is saying and to carry it out. This voice echoes our Lord's baptism, and it anticipates the completion of that baptism in his dying and rising at Jerusalem. When the voice finishes speaking, our Lord is alone. The disciples keep silence, and in those days tell no one of what they had seen. Next day, when they come down from the mountain, a great crowd meets them. And a man begs Jesus to look at his convulsing son. The man reports that he begged the disciples to cast out the spirit, but they could not. Our Lord answers him with this observation: "You faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and to bear with you?" This observation exposes the continual love that you and I have for ourselves as well as for our gods. Our Lord recognizes that we prefer the twisted ways of the world. And his comment about bearing with us is a reminder that his presence is constantly whirling around us from the holy places of his scriptures and his sacraments, and will do so until the end of time. So Jesus orders the man's son to be brought to him. The demon cat dashes the boy to the ground with convulsions, but Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit, heals the boy, and gives him back to the Father. And all are amazed at the greatness of God. It is an incredible display of the glory that Jesus showed on the mountain with Peter and John and James. Now, the impact of this stunning passage is a deep and broad one. It has the potential to infect our conversations with one another, especially as we make the turn into Ash Wednesday this week. This passage is glimpsing you and me with the glory that radiates from the Son's crucifixion and resurrection. Such glory contrasts sharply with the glory that the world understands. For example, the world's glory is dominated by enormous wealth, attractive appearance, and overwhelming power. The world's glory is also built by people driving themselves to be successful, climbing out of and climbing away from any weakness and suffering. The world's glory is maintained by the people around us who bask in its glow and who keep reminding you and me of how much we mean to them. But what is pathetic and tragic about the world's glory is not just its dishonesty and emptiness. It also has no endurance. It has no permanence. The Lord's glory, on the other hand, is centered exclusively in his rescuing activity. The Lord's glory radiates through the people who struggle to be faithful to his life and its ways, to people who are embedded in the suffering and weakness of the world's life. The Lord's glory is maintained by the holy places with which he surrounds his baptized people. That's why we continually remember his baptism of us, why we let our lives be shaped by his holy writings, why we let his forgiveness work its way into all our relationships, why we eagerly take part in his supper on a steady basis. What is exhilarating and joyous about the Lord's glory is its fullness and its honesty, its permanence and endurance through this life to the new one, the completed one in eternity. So, through his scriptures and sacraments, our Lord has brought you and me into his presence this morning. And under extraordinary circumstances, we have been urged to listen to him. So the question is, will we? Or will we just go through the motions? This is a magnificent passage. And may the Son's Spirit impress this glimpse of the crucifixion and resurrection deeply into our lives, enabling you and me to plunge further into the Son's ministry as we enter the Lenten season. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.